You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's going on? It's Keyshawn, and welcome to my show, Undisputed Presents All Facts, No Breaks podcast. Joining me today is UFC Hall of Famer, Grace Jiu-Jitsu practitioner, and one of the greatest fighters in the history of mixed martial arts, my boy, Hoyce Gracie. What's up, Hoyce? Hoyce, what's happening? Long time.
Life is good in my world.
Yeah, well.
No complaints.
It's been last time was the wedding. What was that? 4 years ago?
About 4 years ago, yeah.
About 4 years ago.
But we go back way.
No, we go way, way back, long time ago from the first time with James Strom. And I was telling my son who works with me, Keyshawn, that he was just a little puppy. But you would come to my home in Calabasas and take some time away from family and train to get ready for some fights and stuff. Yep. I'm assuming you're not fighting anymore.
I'm still in the same weight. But no.
No more fighting.
No more fighting.
No Hall of Fame. One last time. None of that.
Nah. Not interested.
Not interested. Okay.
Well, on this business, you got to know when to stop.
Okay.
Right. Because that's when you get hurt. You see, you got to know when to stop.
And how long has it been since you stopped fighting competitively? Ooh,
my last one was about maybe 5 years ago. I didn't even want to fight. My opponent keep pushing, calling me out. And this show is like, hey, come on, man. Come back. Do one more. I was like, okay, fine. Let's do it.
Okay.
But nah, I'm not interested in fighting anymore.
How does the body feel?
Okay. The way I train, if you watch me training, you'll be like, is that it? That's it? Where's the rest? It's like, you touch my face, I take that as a hit. So I never train like getting full on the hit. And a lot of people are finding out that now. Mm. You see, instead spar full on and getting hit in the face. This whole thing of you got to get used to get hit. No. You get used to get hit. I'm going to get used to hit you. We're made for each other. We're a perfect match.
Okay.
I don't want to get used to get hit.
Well, Hoyce, it's an absolute honor to have you on the show. You're a true legend who put Brazilian jiu-jitsu on the map. Here's what Joe Rogan had to say about your family. Take a listen.
That Gracie shit's no joke, though. Mm. That family.
They changed the world.
The world.
The world didn't know. Jiu-jitsu is the only martial art that did what was advertised.
Right.
And what was advertised was that a small, skillful person could beat a larger, stronger opponent who didn't know the techniques.
Well, he proved it.
He proved it.
I'm a fucking...
Hoyce Gracie proved it in the UFC. And he changed martial arts forever. And that family's probably the most consequential, the most important, significant family in the history of martial arts. The Gracie family changed martial arts worldwide.
So, Hoyce, how does it feel to look back and realize that you and your family had changed the game forever?
Okay. The way I look at it is, it wasn't me. It was the technique of jiu-jitsu. Mm. Mm-hmm. So, that's what did it. People say all the time, well, when I saw you fighting, I was like, man, you didn't see me fighting. You saw the technique. It could have been anybody's face. Mm-hmm. It's the technique that was impressive, that shock people that a smaller person. That was, okay, go back all the way to the beginning when my father started learning. Mm-hmm. It was my uncles. My father couldn't do it because he was very small. So he learned pretty much by watching. And then my uncle was late for a class one day. My father jumped in and taught the student a class. And the student liked it so much. By the time my uncle arrived, the student told my uncle, from now on, I want to take classes with him. I don't want to take classes anymore. And that's when my uncles were like, hold on, you never did this. What did you do? And on his mind, he was developing a way. He didn't invent anything new. He just developed a way for a smaller person can do it easier. He put leverage into the moves.
You say small. What was the biggest, I guess, you were as a fighter? The weight class or whatever?
I think I got 184, 185.
So 184, 185, how tall?
6'1".
6'1".
I fought a guy who was 6'1".
No. Hold on. How are you still here being able to do this today with me? Seriously. Because I saw Akibono.
Akibono, yep.
Okay, Akibono about
6'8",
about 490 pounds.
490.
I spent 6 months in Japan training the Japanese how to play football during my offseason back in 98. Part of that was dealing with the sumo wrestlers as well. Man, motherfucker's so big. I don't understand how you fought that. How did you fight him? And what did you, like, when you That's walked insane. Into the ring with him, what did you think?
6'8", 490 pounds. His shoulder went from this hand to my shoulder. I measure him behind his back like that. That's a one man's shoulder.
I know, but how did you survive it? Yeah, but that's crazy.
I say my strength is right here.
It's technique.
It's technique.
Technique my ass.
It is.
You have to technique. See. No, you have to see him, Keyshawn. You saw. You was young. You was a kid when you went to Japan. Man, this dude is like a building. He's just huge, massive. But you can't tell me you walked into the ring. Well, I guess you could have the confidence. But a voice.
Okay, before the fight, we had a press conference in Hawaii. Okay.
Okay.
So I got up in the morning, like I do every morning, went for a run, came back, shorts, t-shirt on my hand, sunglasses, shoes. I passed by the lobby and I saw Akibono and three other big Samoans sitting in the lobby because we had to do a press conference that evening. So I know, rules of engagement, I'm not supposed to talk to my opponent. Mm-hmm. That's how we look at it. So I walked by him and I was like, rules will make me broken. So came back, look at him, stare at him. He's sitting down, stare at his two friends, stare at them. I look at me, look at them, and go, you know what? I think I'm too big for you for this fight, man. I got to lose some weight. And I'll walk outside to run some more. He has some more guy. He's like, what the F was that all about? He's complaining. I'm too big for you. I got to lose some weight, cut some weight for you, man.
If I saw somebody that big and I'm trying to fight, I'd just give up. I quit. Nothing I can do. Well, the dude is so massive.
But that's the beauty of jiu-jitsu. Okay. I thought on this fight, my father said, bring him to the ground. Mm. So, and I did. I kind of pretty much fall down, let him fall on top of me because I thought he would never be able to get up. As soon as I get back, I start to slide over. I go to his back. He gets up and I was on the side. So he shoved me off with the arm. I was off the ground. I bounced on the ropes and I was like, oh no, you did not do this to me. You just did not swipe me off like a fly. And now I'm mad. Again, I brought him to the ground, but he got up. I did not believe he was going to be able to get up.
But once you're able to get him on the ground, though.
He was able to get up. And I was like, there's no way he was going. Then he got up. I was like, wow, let's do it again. So second time, he wasn't able to get up.
So it was over with.
That's when I got him in an arm lock, yes.
So you got him in an arm lock.
Arm lock, yep.
And
he had to tap.
So how do you feel right now about the current state of Brazilian jiu-jitsu in MMA?
It's good. It's the spine for MMA. Hmm. If you take Brazilian jiu-jitsu out, you see it goes back to different styles against different styles, against karate. And that was the whole idea when my brother first created the UFC. Uh-huh. A lot of people thought the Gracies are arrogant, are trying to put down the other styles of martial art. No, my father, my uncles, my brothers, my cousins, they just had a curiosity. What works and what doesn't? Who would win a fight if you put the Mike Tyson against Bruce Lee? You see, we always had that curiosity. Mm. So take all the rules, take the weight division, take the time limit, let them fight and see what happened. So, and that's what how the first UFC got created. It was curiosity. It was 3 fights in one night, so 8-man tournament. Mm-hmm. The second UFC was 16-man tournament, 4 fights in one night. Not like today, 1 fight, that's it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And there was no time limit, no weight division.
I'm good.
So, Hoist, you grew up in Rio de Janeiro, kind of a pretty rough place in Brazil. You were one of 9 kids, the youngest of 7 brothers. What was life like growing up there?
Man, Brazil is awesome.
Yeah.
I would not change it for nothing. I just went there with my daughter for the first time. She went there when she was 2 years old. She's like, Dad, I haven't been back since. Can you take me? I was like, sure. So we spent Christmas, New Year's. Yes, it is a dangerous place. It's a good place to visit, let's say.
Which part of Brazil? Rio?
I took her to Rio.
No, and then which part is dangerous?
All Brazil. Yes, it's dangerous. It's pretty rough. Mm. Yes.
I've never been. You never took me.
Hoist,
with you, I feel good. Yeah.
I'm going back. I'm going back in 2 weeks.
But I'm good with you.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I'm good with you. I ain't even worried about it. Giddy. That's the first thing I say. Giddy. Let me ask you this though. Now that I'm talking about that, because I always wanted to know, and last time I saw you, I forgot to ask you. When you're out in public, right? In whatever, you might be at a bar, you might be anywhere. Have you ever gotten into a confrontation with somebody and you say, look, man, I
come on now.
Just probably not a good idea to fuck with me. Have you ever gotten into that?
Oh, we can curse here.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. Because yeah. I was trying to hold back. But
no,
okay.
Cool.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Yes. But people read on my forehead, don't fuck with me, with blinking lights going around. They will look and I'll make eye contact and they'll go, uh-oh, yeah, let's not start something. Even if they don't recognize, before the UFC.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just the fact that...
My family have an eye look that...
You have that this, look.
That switch.
Yeah. Yeah, you look like cold killer.
My daughter just told her roommates in college, somehow got in the argument, like, hey, if you guys can talk bad about me, you guys can curse at me. But if you guys ever talk bad about my father, my brothers, fuck you up. They all like, okay, put their heads down. Like, that's my daughter. It's like,
right, Keyshawn? I just want to know, because you got to be a fool. Because I think about like Mike Tyson, for instance, or some boxers. People try them in the public, but you're so unassuming, right? You're just a skinny guy, 6 feet, whatever. But and people be like, oh, you're a regular dude.
But
and they judge the book by its cover.
Oh, yeah.
Until they get that technique.
But then a lot of people don't recognize me because I don't, yes. Like I said, I don't call attention.
Yeah.
So I can go through the crowd easy. No problem.
But you know, if they recognize that you bump into somebody, they're all drunk and I just feel bad for them. I'm like, Lord, have mercy.
Oh, I had those arguments before and drunk people and I'll come over, but I don't go out to nightclubs. But I got to a point that I come in, I'll whisper on the person's ear. Hey,
like, you don't want to do this.
You are drunk and I'm not. I'm going to fuck you up. Are you sure you want to go through with this? And they look at me like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
And it comes out, the tone of voice comes out in such a way.
Yeah. So like, I know. I watch you work out. Trust me.
Speaking of that, so how many hours a day did you and your brothers train when you were working out, you think?
Okay. I consider eating part of my training. Sleeping part of my training. So it's 24/7. Uh-huh. You see, I don't drink, don't smoke, don't party, don't care about going out nightclubs. So it's a 24/7. It goes beyond the mats, we say, the teaching. I got to serve it as example. So yes, I'm constantly working out. Sleeping is part of my workout.
Yeah, just rest.
You got to rest. You got to recover.
Sleep. Yeah.
You got to recover. You got to eat good. So it's a constant workout.
Mm. What? So if you was fighting today, though, where do you think today in UFC, where would you be at today?
I was made to be on the top, man. I was made to be number one.
So you, there's no question. You still be number one.
Yep.
Is no there doubt. Anybody? Is there anybody in that arena right now that you look at and you say, "I wish I could fight him"?
There's only one way to find out.
Is fight him. But you're older. Get back you're in older there. Get now. Back no, in. No, we don't want him to get back in. So
I
want to
go back in. But there's only one way to find out if I would have succeeded picking up Royce from 10, 20 years ago with the top champion today. It's a different game.
Yeah,
you see, right. It's a different game. But then again, today they have fight with time limit. Back then, there was no time limit, no weight divisions.
What's the longest fight that you ever had?
I fought Sakuraba, man, for an hour and 45 minutes. It was 6 rounds of 15 minutes with unlimited...
What's the name?
Sakuraba.
Japanese
guy, yes.
Oh, my God.
It was 6 rounds of 15 minutes. Unlimited rounds until somebody quit.
And who won?
He won that one. He broke my foot with a kick.
Oh.
It was a partial tear on the ligament and a crack on the shin. So I sat down and I told my father and my brother in the corner, I can get up, but I can't walk. You tell me what to do. If they say, go ahead and get up, I'll do it.
Yeah, but you're crazy, though. But you're crazy. No soldier, then, you're crazy. I can't do that. I play football for a living. I'm not doing it.
If they say get up, I'll get up. But they said, let's not confuse toughness with stupidity.
Yes.
You already proved that you're tough by showing up and doing what you do. Continue. If you can't walk, you're standing target. So that would be stupidity. So they threw the towel. But we had a rematch after, and I beat him in 15 minutes.
What's the worst injury that you either had or you caused for somebody?
Oh, man, I got my heart broken once. My God, took forever to recover.
Oh, well, not that. Not that. I think we all been there once or twice.
Partial tear on the tendon and a crack on the shin from that fight.
Hmm.
That was probably the worst one. It was like 6 rounds of 15 minutes, man. It's an hour and 45. The crowd fell asleep, woke up. It's the most boring fight ever. The crowd fell asleep, woke up, and we're still in the cage fight, in the ring fighting.
Man, that you know, I've only been to, and I feel like you were with me at the Coliseum.
Yes.
To watch Johnny Martin fight.
Yep. I fought at that one.
That was the only, yes. That's right.
That's
that
when I beat Sakuraba. I beat that the same
was
the guy.
Only, that was the only fight that I ever had gone
with
to.
Johnny Martin, yes.
When Johnny Martin got knocked out in like 30 seconds.
Yep.
It was like, I'm like, why? Play football for a living. This isn't for me.
He tried to test himself.
Yeah, he tested himself too far and he's on the internet now.
So. Well, you spoke about your father earlier. Just wondering, what was one of the greatest lessons you think that he taught you?
He's stubborn and patient.
Sounds
so,
like the guy to the left of you.
Stubborn and patient. And that's what the Gracie family is very much like that.
Yeah.
Follow the footsteps. You tell us what's impossible, man. We're going to prove you wrong.
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
Yeah, I try to tell him, he thinks I'm stubborn and impatient, very patient. I'm very patient, but he thinks I'm stubborn because I just won't let his ass get away with anything and do anything and hold him accountable. So he always thinks that I'm being too hard on him. But
no doubt, I'm just messing.
Pretend that he's not here. Let's talk about him.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Hoyce, we saw clips from your early UFC fights where you fought without gloves on. How has the UFC changed in your eyes? And what time period would you consider the golden era of the UFC?
Okay, the UFC was proving grounds. So there was no gloves, no time limit, no weight division. So that was the first ones. And then today, okay, before was a fighter against a fighter.
Man, what happened to the hair?
It was a style against a style. That's what happened when you get old, man.
You're looking good.
But it's before it was a style against a style. It was a fighter against a fighter. Today, it's more of a... it became a show for the TV. Before, it was a fight. Today, it became a show, the entertainment. They have to put rounds to make the show continue. Because without time limit, you can't put on TV, on pay-per-view. So they had to do a time limit. I understand, you see... all the fighters now. Before, like I said, it was a style against a style. Today, all the fighters are learning everything. So you see karate guys choking people out. You see wrestlers knocking people out. You see jiu-jitsu guys knocking people out, kick with the head, and with the kick on the head. Mm-hmm. So it became a mixed martial art. They all learning everything. So one style is not enough anymore. So I'll see a lot of the grapplers are doing stand-up. A lot of the stand-up fighters are doing grappling. So
when you look at today's sports and other arenas, major sports, is there an athlete, a LeBron or Bo Jackson that played, or some of these other athletes that's around that you think could make a good MMA fighter?
If you don't know what you're doing,
you're going to be Johnny Morton.
Okay, I didn't say it.
I said it. You're going to be Johnny Morton. You're going to hit the deck in like 30 seconds.
But yes, it's if you don't know how to swim, you have no business jumping in a pool.
And that's why I don't get in the pool, because I can't swim.
So, yep. So you can be the best track and field runner in the world. You can run all day long. You can jump in the pool. You're going to drown. Get the best swimmer all day long. Swim all day long. Best swimmer in the world. Put him on the track. He can't run.
Yeah.
It's a different sport. So he got to train. Anybody can be good. You just got to train.
Is it like stamina? You got to have strong stamina to be able to withstand an hour and a half type fight. You got to be able to be equipped for that.
You have to have, you have to know what you're doing.
Okay.
Because if I don't know how to play football, I have no business on the field. Everybody run left, I run right. It's like, wait, what? Guys, hold on, come back here. What's going on? So I don't know how to play the game. I don't know how to throw the ball. So I have no business on the field. Mm-hmm. Once I learn how to play football, I have to have endurance. Because I cannot play for 30 seconds and say, coach, I'm done for the day. Mm-hmm. So you got to have endurance. The third one becomes power. And you got to be in that order. You can have the fastest car in the world. Without gas, what are you going to do? Push that car around town? You have to put gas on it. Mm-hmm. Then the horsepower. So you got to be in that order. You got to know what you're doing. You got to go. Sometimes it's not the biggest, the fastest, but he knows the game. He have the vision for the game. You got to have endurance to be able to play the game all day long. And you have then becomes power. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's in that order.
So, Hoyce, on this show, we have a popular segment called Facts or Fiction. And rumor has it that you and Mike Tyson were considering an MMA fight. Is this true? Is this facts or is this fiction?
That's true. We actually invited Mike Tyson to fight. He accepted to fight in the UFC. But then everybody around him said, don't do it. He can't. He would have ruined boxing at the time. So, yes, but we had a challenge to bring him in to fight in the UFC.
You were going to fight him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we found like a game simulation of you guys fighting. You actually won the fight in a TKO. I don't know if there's the video, but
he would have had to learn mixed martial arts to some degree, right? It was going to be the rules.
It would be MMA. Yes, it would be like me learning boxing today to fight him boxing. I don't stand a chance.
Yeah, he wouldn't have stood a chance. I don't care. So, punching. Yeah,
he accepted. He's a tough guy. He's a fighter. Man, I would love to have done.
But if you sweep defeat,
not in that octagon.
If I would take him down, yes. You sweep defeat, it's over.
Yep.
And once he falls on the ground, it's over.
I'm not punch-proof. If he hits my shoulder, the fight will be over too.
Yeah, but you can get out of the way fast enough and you know how to sweep the feet.
Again, there's only one way to find out.
Is get in the ring and do it.
So people would never find out who would have won that fight.
Well, like I said, we got a simulation and it said you got the TKO. So, I mean,
I don't think I would have TKO Tyson. There's no way.
Unless you'd have just hit him the right way.
Nah, I would have been a submission with him. TKO would be a submission.
But that's over with. There's nothing he can do.
Because he doesn't know. Yes.
Yeah,
the TKO was a submission. Yes. Okay.
Like you got him right there, choking him out. He's losing. He's tapping out.
Yep. Tap, tap, tap.
That's like what you did to me in the gym that day when you were showing me.
That wasn't me. I would never do such a thing to you.
Tap you when I start feeling a little woozy. No, he had me, Keyshawn. He had me. Now, mind you, I was big, strong, the whole deal. He had me around my neck and he said, just tap him if I start feeling like I'm getting ready to faint. He had me like that. I was
technique.
Done.
That wasn't me.
That wasn't me. Okay.
I would never do such a thing.
No, that's a damn lie.
So, actor and martial artist Michael G. White stated that he believes Jackie Chan would defeat Bruce Lee in a head-to-head matchup. Check this out.
An actual fight between Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan.
An actual fight? What I would think?
Yeah, who would win that fight?
I think Jackie Chan would win.
I mean, is not a professional fighter, but he is a.
I would if I was a betting man, I'd say Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan was bigger.
Okay, just because of his physical size. Have you met Jackie Chan before?
Briefly, yeah.
How tall is he?
He's not a small guy.
I
would say Jackie Chan's about 5'8". Five nine. And he's durable. That's a tough dude.
So Hoist, as one of the greatest fighters to ever live, what do you think about this? Who do you got?
Again, I can't bet on anybody. There's only one way to find out. That's in the ring, yes.
But it just seemed, I don't know. It seemed like maybe my brains is telling me Bruce Lee because I grew up Bruce Lee movies and I'm watching him and he's so ripped up and the whole. So I'm thinking, oh, Bruce Lee kick his ass. That's what I'm. It just feels that way because Bruce Lee beat everybody in the movies.
Yeah.
So I would just think
Jackie Chan, dude.
He did. But see, I don't watch Jackie Chan movies.
Rush Hour.
That ain't quite the same as Bruce Lee. What was it? Into the Dragon. And then I watch Bruce Lee whoop up on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So, you know, it's a little different. But you're right. Only way to find out is get in the ring.
There's only one way to find out. Yes. Yeah.
So back in 2020, UFC president Dana White revealed his Mount Rushmore of MMA fighters. Take a look.
If you're talking about a Mount Rushmore, you know, where their heads are carved in stone forever.
Yes.
You have to go Hoist Gracie. No brainer. You have to do that. Amanda Nunes. Has to be Amanda Nunes, the greatest female fighter ever. The other two are tough. I would have to go with a John Jones. The guy's never been beat. And what's more amazing about him going undefeated, which is incredibly amazing, because very few people do it in this sport, is the things that he's done to himself outside of the octagon, and he still hasn't been beat. And then number four on the Mount Rushmore. I guess you'd have to go with Chuck Liddell.
It's cool that you were the first one immediately, no questions asked. But what do you think of his list? And who is your Mount Rushmore of MMA legends?
Man, that's a tough one. There's so many good fighters out there. It would be a tough one to pick. I agree with Jon Jones, but then there's Saint Pierre, there's Khabib out there. See, it's like there's so many good fighters, man. So it's hard to pick.
And you probably could just Amanda pick
Nunes,
many people.
I agree with that.
You probably could pick many people from your family.
Yes. Hans is awesome. So, yeah.
But you like his list.
My father should have been there. My father is the one that he's 140 pounds.
But he didn't fight in the U.S.
Everything was in Brazil.
Everything was Brazil.
But he fought a fight that was 3 hours and 40 minutes. One round straight through.
Huh?
Sit over here for 3 hours and 40 minutes, man. Your buns will hurt. Before my father was fighting straight, one round, straight through. 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Y'all crazy.
Different.
Yeah, but y'all...
Fought a guy that was double his weight.
Damn.
So we have some fan questions before we wrap this up. Stephanie from Boston asks, what's the hardest thing you've ever done, physically or mentally?
Mentally, it goes with the physical, I think. So I think it's hanging out with James Strong, man.
Shout out to James, man. He's a
machine.
Our strength coach, we went for a run one time. He runs a lot.
He's a machine.
He's 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Built like a football player.
Built like
runs
a brick.
Like a track and field marathons, ultra marathons. Went for a run one time. It was 41 miles.
Yes.
We did.
And trust me, I did it.
7 hours later, it's like, James, I got cramps on both calf. I can't take another step. Call the car. He's like, okay. It's like,
yes.
And climbing cactus to clouds.
Yeah.
Palm Springs. He took us to that. And there's like stuff that was like preparations, like not much. It's like, hey, next week we're going to go. Okay. Yeah. Fine, let's do it. He would call me like, let's do it. It's like, we climbed that thing, man. That was miserable.
No, I got to be the number one pick in the draft because of working with James. The training, the grueling, like the just running, and it's like crazy. Like, where are we going? Oh, we're going to go on a 20-mile run?
Yeah.
Random, fucking out random of your mind right now.
Marathon.
Yeah, random Keyshawn out of nowhere. Just at 6 o'clock in the morning, we're going to go for a run. Yeah. Okay, around the corner. No, we're going to run 20
from
miles.
Seal Beach to Laguna Beach
and
back.
Yeah, we're going to run from Seal Beach to Laguna Beach and back. I remember James called me one time. He said, I'm driving to Palm Springs, and I'm going to run to Arizona. Yep. And then, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? He literally would do that and run. I just don't understand it.
We just did a hike three summers ago. We did a hike from Malibu back to Redondo Beach.
And it's not...
On the hottest day of the summer.
And James is not 24 years old. Yep. He's a 60-year-old man.
Yeah, looks like he's 35 still.
And he's still running like 40 miles and 50 miles, like some crazy shit. Like, I just...
Yeah.
Yeah, he trained me. He trained me like a... Just like, I don't know, a possessed...
And the worst part is when he calls us, we can't say no.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to go for a run. I already know it's going to be, it's like, okay. Okay, James. He's like, to wait to see if he's going to go alone or if it's an invitation. What time do I meet you? It's like, oh, God damn, I have to go with him. I can't say no. It's like, no, I'm just telling you I'm going to go. Oh, okay, James.
I used to have him he used to drive down from Orange County to my house in Calabasas when I was playing football, and he would train me, and we'd do all the running and whatever in the hills or whatever we need to do. I was hoping he would be exhausted by the time he got to my house so we didn't have to work so hard, but it didn't work, but it helped me out a long way. So shout out to James.
Shout out James, man. He's the guy. So Chris from Los Angeles asked, what do you think is the most misunderstood thing about you or the work that you do?
The most misunderstanding that people on the beginning thought they were trying to put down the other styles of martial art. So they're like, well, the Gracies are trying to put down karate by challenging the karate guys or wrestling or kung fu or whatever. A lot of people talk wrong, but we're in a quest to find out which style works and what doesn't.
What's the difference between karate and... I'm oblivious to it. It's right. I don't know. But what's the difference between karate and jiu-jitsu? It seemed like the same thing to me.
Karate is more stand-up. A lot of punches, kicks. They don't know any grappling.
Okay.
So we know more grappling.
Okay.
So we believe we don't do much punching, kicking, but we believe if we get in a clinch, for instance, Mike Tyson. If you're fighting whoever's fighting Mike Tyson, if they start to lose, what do? They get in a clinch.
Mm-hmm.
The referee comes over, break them apart, and the guy's getting beat up again. He shoots in, getting a clinch. So it's not impossible to get in a clinch. You see, and if we take them down, if the rules allow, if it's not a boxing match, it's an MMA match, I can take him down. Once I take him down, he doesn't know anything on the ground. And now it's like you don't know how to swim.
No.
I'll get a hold of you, and I'll jump in a pool.
I'm not going to jump in with you.
No, you're not going to, but I'm going to jump. I'm going to grab you, and I'm going to tackle you. That's my goal, to take you to the pool, because I know how to swim. So when we take them to the ground, it's a swimming pool. We know how to be there, and they don't. So the karate guys don't know. You see, they have to learn jiu-jitsu.
So are you a dangerous fighter if you have jiu-jitsu, karate, and boxing?
I would say jiu-jitsu for the submissions, for the ground grappling. For takedowns, a lot of people like wrestling. A lot of people like judo. It becomes a preference. For the striking, there's great fighters that come from karate background. There's great boxers, kickboxers. It becomes a preference which one, kickboxing, kicks, and punch. Boxing would be just hands. Karate would be hands and kicks. Taekwondo would be a lot more kicks instead of so much hands. So every style have their little specialty.
Okay, and last question before we wrap up. Lucas from Philadelphia asks, how does someone become a Royce Gracie black belt?
You got to train jiu-jitsu for a long time, a minimum 10 to 12 years before you qualify to become a black belt. So, yeah. And then it's not just I train for that long. We take under consideration, like I said in the beginning, we go beyond the mat.
Yeah.
If you're alcoholic, sorry, you won't be my black belt. If you're a child molester, sorry, it goes beyond the mat. You see, you got to serve as example out there.
So if you're a black belt, though, you're really good, though.
You're good, and you serve as example. You got to. You see, you're not.
I guess I won't ever be a black belt. That's for damn sure. Because I'm not getting in the ring to begin with.
You don't have to fight. It's about knowledge.
I got to fight. I got to show you my techniques.
You
got to
show the technique, yes.
And I'm going to have to fight somebody.
But
right?
If you know the technique, you'll be a good fighter. You got to know the technique. If you don't know the technique, then it'll be a problem. But if you know the technique, you'll be like, no problem.
Yeah, for some reason it's too scary for me. When I watch it on TV.
I think I can get you ready for the next UFC.
No, you can't. I watched ex-NFL players get in the ring and every last one of them get their ass kicked.
They don't know what they're doing.
Every last one, they might win a fight or two against a tomato can, but for the most part, they all get beat up.
Well, they got the athlete in them. So they want to try out.
No.
They want to try out.
I'm not getting in the ring.
I'm trying to convince him to get in the ring.
No, I'm not getting hit in my head, my face. Look how pretty this is.
Hold on. Did I say I get hit? What did I say? I don't like to get hit.
But you
I'm going to train you how to hit people, not how to get hit.
Yeah, but you're at a different level. You're the best at ever to do it, ever in life, the best to do it. You know, Hall of Fame. But for me to get in the ring and fuck my face up, I'm not doing that. I watched Johnny Martin. That's all I needed to see. I watched him at the Coliseum. He got it. He walked in. He ran around the ring. He did his little deal. He took the ding, ding. Boom, boom, boom. He hit the mat. I looked at James. I said, I think they just killed him. I think they literally just killed Johnny Martin. Because he was laid out flat. Couldn't move. They had to bring the stretcher. It was crazy. I was like, oh, God.
Are you sure you don't want to try that out?
Nope. I'm good. I like doing what I do for a living.
Hoist, one last question just for me.
Yes.
Who do you think the best MMA UFC fighter is today out of all the weight classes?
Oof. I cannot say one only.
I'm
going to say the champions.
Just all the
champions. There's a reason why they're the champions.
Uh-huh.
You see, so today they're the champions for that reason. So they train, they dedicate the time, family, they isolate themselves, and it's a lot that goes on. It's not just showing up and fighting, being a tough guy. You cannot be a tough guy and get in there and win.
What's the one dude that's always getting into trouble, though? The little dude that walks funny with the red hair. His name?
Conor McGregor. Yes.
Is he really good?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's really
he's good.
Is he still fighting?
He's still fighting. He's still active. Yes.
I think he's going to fight this year, I think they announced. But he hasn't fought in a couple years.
Small weight class, because he's small, right?
Yes.
He's a smaller guy.
Lightweight division, yes. You can take him.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Bad. He's bad, man. He's bad.
No, he looks bad. He's all like, rah.
He's bad. No, he's good.
No, he looks like a badass fighter. I mean, yes. I've watched a couple of his fights and stuff, but I'm good. How you doing, sir? That's about all I need to say to him. I don't want to cause no problems. I'm here. I'm a fan. That's it. I don't want to make him uncomfortable. I don't need to trigger him. Nothing.
Wait, do you think that affects the fighting, like not being it, like not fighting for a year or two and then coming back? Or do you think the fighters just have it in them? Because it's when you stop playing football or basketball for a couple years, it's completely different.
Depend on if you stop and you're not training at all, zero training.
Yeah.
Then yes, it's a fact. But if you're constantly training, you're constantly shooting hoops or throwing the ball, and you're going to practice and you're still in shape and running and you're still in the same weight and you still keep up with the work, yes, it doesn't affect. But if you're totally stop, give a break for a couple of years, a year, it's a lot.
Yeah.
To catch up, to come back, train for 3 months and still perform that good is going to be tough.
Man, I appreciate you stopping in with me, Hoist. It means a lot. It means a lot to me and my son to be able to sit down and talk a little mixed martial arts, jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, karate, wrestling, boxing, whatever it is. We enjoyed the conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's a wrap for today. Thanks again to the legend himself, Hoist Gracie, for joining the show. Don't forget to subscribe and follow All Facts Pod on social media. Until then, peace.